Can I take it?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Very helpful.
One of the most exciting aspects of a conversation, a really good conversation, a stimulating conversation, is that you can speak your mind. You can say out exactly what you're feeling. Turn it around the other way. A really frustrating or boring conversation is when you feel stifled. You can't express yourself, and you feel that the person doesn't want to hear you. And if you would share what's really on your mind, you can't say it out, and you become very frustrated. We learn in the Torah Kedoshah that tefillah is called a sicha. Remember by Yitzchak, lasuach basode, an expression of lasuach, siach, a conversation. And therefore, if we really appreciate and understand the meaning of tefillah, it is supposed to be an exhilarating conversation in the following way. David HaMelech told us and promised us quite clearly, Korai v'Hashem l'chol koira'ov, l'chol asher yikra'uhu ve'emes. We say it every single day, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is close. Says the Gemara, Yochol HaKoil, to anybody, l'chol asher yikra'uhu ve'emes. So long as it's a kriya be'emes, says the Gemara. What does it mean, a kriya be'emes? It means with kavona. But there's a promise here. He is close. Hu shomea. He hears me. It's not really the most exhilarating conversation because he doesn't answer you. Halavai, if he'd answer you straight back, you don't get a response. But one thing is for sure. Ki ato shomea tfilas amcho Yisrael berachamim. He hears. And therefore, if we really are going to apply ourselves to davening, we must understand if we speak our mind and say what we really are feeling, then his response is matched. Hashem Tzilucho, the famous imagery which David HaMelech refers to in Tehillim, he's a shadow, he matches you. You come close to him, he answers you, and that's our emunah. That is what we believe in. That's the whole avoda of tefillah. Now, we must understand and appreciate that in order to be successful in tefillah, you really need two tools. The first is to be a devout traditionalist. You have to follow the siddur, and you have to be traditional. Traditional means you must use the words of the siddur. Let me explain why. The Chofetz Chaim writes in Bir Halacha, Simon Kuf Aleph, that when the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah sat down, 120 Zekenim, many of whom were Nevi'im, Zechariah, Malachi, Haggai, and they composed the text of the Siddur, with Ruach HaKodesh, can you imagine 120 Zekenim, who were faced with the daunting task, the most incredible agenda, to compose a substitute for the Korbanos. It's an incredible task, but they succeeded. And now instead of the korban, there would be a tefillah. Says the Chofetz Chaim in Simon Kuf Aleph, they sat down and debated every single word, every single letter, and every joining letter to ensure that these words would arrive. And that's one of the reasons why one should always try and daven in Lashon Kodesh, in Hebrew. If you say it in English, it's not the same. One has to try as much as possible to daven in Hebrew. I'd like to give you a moshel. You'll say it's a silly moshel. I don't care, it'll work. I hope it gets there. You take an elastic band and you want to let it land on the moon. So you go like this and you pull it back and you flip it. And it goes 2 feet, 5 feet. Doesn't get there. Elastic band, get it on the moon. But if you really want that elastic band to get on the moon, if you went to Cape Kennedy and you found a rocket which was going to the moon and you put it there, it'll arrive there. Our words that we say perhaps are like an elastic band. They're not professional. Of course, they're our words, and our words are invaluable. But we don't have the supersonic power and energy behind the words of Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. We don't have it. As much as our words are valuable in prayer, you'll never, ever, never do as well as using their words and going piggyback onto what they did. And therefore, on the one side, you have to be a devout traditionalist. It's like an elastic band and a rocket at Cape Kennedy. That is the difference. It won't get there. It will get there, but it's never as powerful. It never has the backing of the words of Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Tonight, Rabbeisai, you might know, is the Yortzeit of Moreinu Harav Rav Shach, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha. I remember reading after he was Nifta, one of the Shamosim used to say, Rav Shach never ever said such a private word in his tefillah. His ingenuity was to weave his thoughts into the Nusach HaTefillah. He said, whatever I think, whatever I say, it'll never get there unless I use the words of Anshei, because their words are so powerful. It's a rocket. It arrives. In the words of the Chofetz Chaim, afilu she'einon mevinim, even if you don't understand, they arrive there. Masigos, they get there. So Rav Shach used to say, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, I put my thoughts into the words of Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. So on the one hand, you must be a devout traditionalist. You must use those words. On the other hand, you must be a free thinker. Because if you're not going to think for yourself, there's no way the words will arrive, because it's like a parrot, it's like a chant. They don't get there. You need your own thoughts, the free thoughts of an original thinker, with the words of Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. We'll take questions afterwards, if you don't mind. And that's the incredible combination. Of course, our words help. They get there. But you can't be for sure. You can't be guaranteed. The words of Anshei Knesset HaGdolah arrive there. There's no doubt that they reach their destination. And therefore, using our own words, who knows if they're good enough? But their words, and weaving your thoughts into their words, is the most powerful way of davening. And therefore, you need an original, unique mind to put them into the words of the Siddur, and that's how the tefillah arrives there and gets there. That's called an authentic tefillah. I would like to spend the whole of this shiur this evening on how to show you to be successful, to be a free, original thinker. The first part of the devout traditionist, using the text of the Siddur, we'll come to in other shiurim. We'll discuss the text. But really, from beginning to end, the purpose of this shiur is to show you the ways and means and how to develop your own thoughts. And that is really the ikka, the main avoido in tefillin. Your own thoughts using their text. And I'd like to, first of all, show you a blueprint of where the koyach comes from. Where does that ability originate to be able to think for ourselves? All of us come from the Zayda Avraham Avinu. One of the greatest qualities of Avraham Avinu was to be an original thinker. It's interesting, the Rambam, in all his writings in Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, where he discusses the great milas of Avraham Avinu, only brings out this one quality, this one particular strength of Avraham Avinu, and these are the words of the Rambam in Hilchos Avodas Kochavim in Perek Aleph. Kevin Shenigmal Eison Ze. Once this little boy who was 3 years old had finished nursing. He was three. The word Eison is like a wedge, a peg. This strong little child. Hischil Leshoitet Bedaitoi. He began like a free thinker, searching, probing. A little child of three. Vuhu Cotton. And he's a little boy, a 3 years old. And he began to think for himself by day and by night. And he was amazed, this little child. How can it possibly be that this world keeps on turning around? It goes from day into night. It goes from summer into autumn. People grow older. Everything seems to just follow a certain direction. And there's no director, in the famous words of Abchatzkel, Levenstein. If you see direction as darf sein a director, there must be a director. And this child said to himself, this little child who was searching and probing, who's running the show here? How can it be? And he began to think. Umi yisaveh v'yisad, who's turning everything around? Ki efshar sheyisaveh v'yisatzman. It's impossible that this is all going on by himself. We're learning here the tools of the Zeda, how he became who he was. He thought for himself. V'lo hayola melameid. No one ever told him a thing. No one taught him Aleph Beis. No one taught him Shema. No one taught him about Shabbos. He didn't know anything at all. V'lo modi adavo. No one ever informed him of anything. No one ever came around to him and said, Avromala, you're doing very well. Keep it up. No one. No one said a word to him. Ela mashuka be'ul kastim. He was living with everybody in ul kastim. Ve'in oivdei kechovim hatipshim, amongst the foolish idol worshippers. Ve'ovi ve'imo, and his mother and his father. V'cholom, and they were all oivdei kechovim. V'hu oivdei dimohim, and he was following the... He followed everybody. He did what they did. Oba v'liba meshaitet. He was thinking. It kept on bothering him. It's not the fire. It's not the water. It's not the sea. It's not the sun. So who is it? Where is it? And he searched. Umevin ad shehisig derech ha'emes. Until it took him, the Rambam explains, Machlokes and the Raivat and the Kesef Mishnah, he started at 3 and it took him 37 years until the age of 40. The Haven Kavat Tzedek b'tzibunas ad hanovachona. And he reached it by himself. I remember hearing the Mashkiach Volbe in the Mir once explained, this is an incredible ability of Seichel HaYosha, point after point after point. He eventually reached at the age of 40, he made his conclusions. V'yoda, sheyesh eloka echod. And there is one God, v'hu manhig ha-galgal, v'hu bora ha-koy. And therefore he reached his conclusions. As we know, the Rambam mentions at the age of 40 he got to that point. He didn't open his mouth and say one word for another 12 years. As we know, Avraham Avinu was born in 1948. Until 1988, he then reached Emunah. He waited another 12 years, because we know, the Gemara in Baba Basra explains, the first 2,000 years were Tohu Vavohu, nothing. Second 2,000 years, from the year 2000 to 4,000, was the beginning of Torah. It began with Avraham Avinu, and it ended with Rabbi Yehuda HaNossi was Messiah the Mishnah, closed the Mishnah. So he didn't say anything. He worked on all his shiurim, and he worked everything out for another 12 years, and then began to say shiurim at the age of 52. And then he began to speak. And the Rambam goes on here. But there's one characteristic, and there's one trait, which we must begin to understand if we're going to be Einaklach of the Zeda. The Zeda thought. He had what's called a Seichel HaYosha, an original mind, and he used it to reach and find Emuna. Just Erech Hagav, a beautiful point we mentioned this morning, one of the Shirim I was saying this morning, the Alter from Slobodka, the Nosson Zvi Finkel, the Alter Zeda, in his Sefer Or HaTzafun, ask where does Chesed come from in Avraham Avinu? Vos epes Chesed? He reached Emunah. Where does the Chesed come from? And the Alter from Slobodka explains that Avraham Avinu saw that he keeps on giving and giving, and never gets paid. He never gets anything back. It must be that the manufacturer wants his product to be the same. He wants me to follow that role model. So therefore, in his understanding of Emunah was also the Chesed. I must be like him and emulate him. One of the reasons Rabbi Yerucham just explains why it was that when it came to the three Arabs who came walking into his house, why did he do everything himself? Why? Everybody says because, of course, he wanted to take the mitzvah himself. It's much deeper than that. The whole role model of Avraham Avinu was based on Hashem does everything. So I have to do everything. As a host, I took it upon myself. The role model came from there. But the point we're bringing out, which is intrinsic, we'll see in a second in Tefillah, is the ability to think through something by yourself. Here's a second role model. Yisroi can be called the emeritus pope of all time. He was chosen, if you remember, in the convention of Hovon Ischak Malay in Mitzrayim, he was chosen with Bilam and with Eiv to head the convention of the final solution of how to sort out Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. It was a serious problem. He was called in. No one in the world knew religion as well as Yisrael. Yisrael was an incredible authority on religion. And then he heard, says the Gemara in Zevachim, Machlekes, whether he heard about Kriyas Yamsuf or he heard about Milchemes Amalek, he suddenly decided it's all wrong. it's not right. He threw everything up, he packed his bags and went to join Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar. But everybody heard, Shomu Amim Yegozen, Chil Ochaz Yoshvei Ploshes. Everybody knew what was happening. He took it further. Shoma Uvo, he reacted spontaneously, he reacted positively, and decided, I must do something, this is wrong. He thought for himself. And, as the Gemara brings out, his grandchildren sat in the Lishkat HaGozis, and he was zeicher that they became the Anshei Sanhedrin. But he was a thinker, I always remember hearing such a wonderful He'orah that Brevda once brought out. Where does Klal Yisrael begin? It begins with Parsha Shemois. Shemois, Eilu B'nei Yisrael sheyoldu b'Mitzrayim, came down to Mitzrayim. Parshas Vo'eiro, Moshe Rabbeinu appears in front of Paroi, and we begin the Makos, Parshas Vo'eiro. Parshas Bo'i is the end of the Makos, and we're into the first mitzvahs, HaChodesh HaZazeh Lochem, and the beginning of the whole Geula, Klal Yisrael by Pesach. Parshas Beshalach, comes and tells us the great nes of the Kriyas Yamsuf and the beginning of Klal Yisrael. And next comes the most famous of all parshas in the whole of the Torah. Parshas Peter, Parshas Paul, Parshas Stephen, Parshas John. How come? Yisrael was the Pope. Kabbalas HaTorah is called after the Pope. Can you not find a better name for Kabbalas HaTorah than Yisrael? He was the Pope. So in other words, the most important parsha of Kabbalas HaTorah was called after the Pope. How can that be? The answer is that Torah only asks one thing. Asks you to think for yourself and make your own conclusion and follow through your thoughts and go through. Torah requires, Sinai requires us to think, and it doesn't matter at all where you come from. It's got nothing to do with your background at all. Maybe that's perhaps the connection of Rus to Shavuos. When Normie turns around to her, the one question Normie never ever asked Rus, with all the questions of Asher Telechi Eilechi, one thing she never, which was totally irrelevant, my dear, where do you come from? Never asked that question. It's not relevant. Normie only wanted to know, where are you going? What are you going to do with this information? Basher Telechi Eilechi. Not what the future is. And that's the meaning of Parshas Yisrael for Kabbalas HaTorah. That's why Yisrael is fundamental. That's Torah. One needs to think for oneself and develop one's thoughts in the most logical way and develop the idea. That's Avraham Avinu, that's Yisrael. I'd like to show you a third blueprint, a Gemara in Avodah Zorah, Daf Yud Aleph. These three messages, I hope, will give you some sort of a master plan of what does it mean to begin to think for oneself. The Gemara describes Unclus, who was the nephew of Caesar. And unfortunately, to the great, great disgrace of Caesar, he became a Yid. Unclus converted. And Caesar became so embarrassed in the Senate, Shoda Caesar Gudna de Roimi. He then sent a Gudna. A Gudna, I once looked up in the Ein Yaakov, in the Mephoshim, a Gudna is at least 300 soldiers. 300 Chayalim were sent over, soldiers, Abasre, to bring him back home to Rome. You can't have this yeshiva bacha. Caesar can't have yeshiva bacha in Yerushalayim sitting learning yeshiva. I mean, it's the most embarrassing situation. So he sent 300 soldiers to bring him home. Moshchinu bikroi. Unclus started discussing with them some psukim. Igoya. All 300 converted. Hoda shoda gudna de roimeim. Try again, says the Gemara. He sent another gudna, another 300 soldiers here. Omar lohu, loitem rulei. Please don't talk to this Meshugana. Don't discuss anything with him. Loimide, no discussions. Ki habe shotei, they found him in the base of Medrash. Va'ozlu omar lohu. Do you know, can I tell you? Emalohu milsad ba'al. Would you like to know something interesting? That point of information is very interesting. So the soldier said, well, what do you want to tell us? Nifura nokat nura kome pifuyo. The private in the army always holds the candle, correct, for the sergeant. Fiyura de duchsa. The sergeant holds it for the major. Duchsa lehegmoina. The major holds it for the general. Hegmoina lekoima. And the general holds it for the major general, for the chief. Koima ki nokat nura mikame inshe. Tell me, does the major general, the general, the top of the army, does he hold the candle for anybody? Amale loy. On no account. Amalehu. You know, it's interesting. In this religion which I joined, HaKadosh Baruch Hu nokat nura kame Yisrael. He took the candle and lit up for all of Klal Yisrael. Dichsiv Hashem holech lifneihem yoimon. When they left Mitzrayim. Igoya, they all converted. That's 600 in the base of Medrash now. Hoda shoda gudna. Third time lucky, he thought. He sent a third battalion, another 300. Acharina, Abasre, Omaluhu, loy tishtoru midei bahade. Don't do nothing. Just pull him back. Kinokat luhu vaozle, chazo mezuzta. As they were taking him out and pulling him out of the base of Medrash, and this, by the way, Aboisa is the place where we know to kiss a mezuzah on the way when you kiss that because of unklus. And then one of the notes at the side of the Gemara says that he actually kissed and smiled. As they were taking him out, he put his hand on the mezuzah and smiled and kissed the mezuzah. Oisib yodei alei v'omar luhu. They said, what are you doing? My hai. Omrulei eimolahan. I'll tell you what's going on. Minhoga shalolam, the usual way of the world is what happens in society is that the melech basav adam yoshe mifnim, the king sits inside. Va'avdo mishamri moysa bachutz, and the servants and the guards stand outside. HaKadosh Baruch Hu avodov, but it's interesting, in this religion which I'm part of, we all sit inside and HaKadosh Baruch Hu guards us from outside. Shenema Hashem yishma tzeischo v'yecho me'ato v'yad oylam. Igoya. That's a whole yeshiva smear here. It's 900 yeshiva bochum here. And then the Gemara turns around and said, Lo shoda basrei. No more. You couldn't afford it. 900. The great Rosh Yeshiva of Rav Hakim, Rav Kamil, Rav Chaim Kamil Zecher Tzadik Vrugwafa, asks the wonderful kasha. Nowhere do we learn that Unklus was very eloquent, that he was articulate, that he was a very powerful speaker, and nowhere does it say that. Not only that, he was no eyewitness here. He didn't see any of this. He sat like you and me in Cheder and learned the parashas of Kriyas Yamsuf and the mezuzah. He learned them. What happened here? How was he able to convince 900? He was one of the greatest ambassadors of Klal Yisrael. How come? Because Dvorim Sheyotzim min Alev, Nichnosim min Alev. He worked on it himself. So when it came for him to open up and express himself, it went from his lave over into someone else's lave, and it was phenomenal. 900 converts. Unbelievable in Kiruv. What a power he had. Because he never ever saw it, but he thought about them. And having worked them through and believed it with his heart, genuinely, the minute he opened his mouth, it became so persuasive. Rav Kamil brings it the other way round. Look at all those people who left Mitzrayim, who, yes, witnessed all the nesim and niflois of Mitzrayim. As soon as they had problems, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu oloi, and immediately Amalek came over. They who saw it all asked, is Hashem with us? Nebuch, they fell by the wayside, having seen it all. What's the difference between them and Unklus? One difference. Unklus thought about it all, and they never managed to think. They just witnessed it with their eyes, but it never penetrated into their hearts in thinking it through. Avraham Avinu, Yisroi, and Unklus are role models of something like the real, the way we're supposed to come to tefillah, to davening. Not those things just in emunah, but one needs to have an original mind to think things through. The difference, how it comes out, really, is like this. The words can be said with tremendous drama. You can be a wonderful, like an actor on stage. And you can say the words with tremendous persuasion and with very great meaning. But in reality, you're maybe just nothing more than a politician or an actor. Because the words come from the mind. It's a short passageway. They think of how the words should be said, and it comes through the mouth, and that's the passageway. But if one is a real Baal Tefillah, then they have a far deeper background. The roots are from the heart and the neshama, and that's where they begin. And therefore the passageway is much deeper. They began in the heart, because they've been thought through. Then the mind takes it over, and then it comes out through the mouth. It's much more than an actor. An actor says the words, but everybody knows. He doesn't believe in them. He's just acting out, or a politician. A Baal Tefillah has thought them through, and through, they've gone into the soul, in the recesses of the neshama here, deep down in the heart. And that's how they're supposed to come out. But only works through thought, when it needs the thought. I'd like, therefore, to suggest the mechanism and then the tools. Here's the mechanism. It's impossible for a person to say every single morning, I'm suggesting, Psukei de Zimra, unless one has thought about the greatness of Teva. For example, we're supposed to say every single morning, Hallelu es Hashem min ha'oretz. Taninim, there are large animals, crocodiles, there are great, great animals which are around. V'chol tahoimas, and all the depths in the seas. There's eish, there's fire, there's borod, there's hail. There's sheleg, there's snow. There's kitor, which is like vaporization, condensation. There's ruach sa'ora, there's a storm, there's a tempest, there's a hurricane. Oise, Devoroi, fire, hail, storm, they all, oise devoroi. But one has to think about that the storm is diburoi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're acting under orders. Hehorim, the mountains. You see the mountains of Yushalayim from this side. Hare Yushalayim, so you see the mountains. V'chol HaGvorois, and the peaks, and the valleys. Eitz Peri, if you have a garden, so you see the fruit on the tree. Chol Arozim, the cedars. Hachaya, you see animals. V'chol Behema, remes, creatures. Bos, tzipor, konof, and birds on wings. Malchei Eretz, you see. One has to have thought in Teva of what these items are in the creation, so that when you come to say Psukei de Zimra, it has meaning. If one's never ever thought, this is the mechanism in tefillah. One has to have thought what it means. In order to say Birchas HaNenin or Birchas HaMozayin, one has to think. Le'echol mipirio v'lisboya mituva. The taste, the texture, the colors, the wrapping, the peel, the solid, liquid, whatever it is. One has to have thought through. I remember hearing that Rav Chatzko once gave a whole shiur in Ponovitch about, you say tomato, I say tomato, but... A tomato. What is a tomato? What is it? It's red and it's luscious and it's... One has to have thought about the food. Without thinking, how can you say Birchas HaNe'anin? How can a person ever say Shema or Adonai Olam if you've never thought that there is a creator? That one's never... It occurred that there is Adonai Olam Asher Molach B'terem Kol Yetzir Nivro. One has to have thought that there is a creator and he acts like Avraham Avinu was Meshaitet Bedaito. He thought it through and he considered there must be somebody there. It was a puzzle and he worked it through in his mind. One needs to think. How can one ever go into Rosh Hashanah, Yamim Noiroim, if one's never thought of that there is a Malchus Shamayim? And your fear is al kol ma'ashevarosa. One has to have thought, and therefore the mechanism in order to reach kavona and make it into a proper stimulating conversation, it must have had thought beforehand. One has to have thought of these concepts, whether it's food, whether it's nature, whether it's emuna, Shema Yisrael, whether it's Yomim Noirim, whatever it is. How can you possibly go into the 3 weeks of thought about the disaster in Klal Yisrael when he left town? Siluk Hash, he left us. He was there and he was gone. All these, you need to create a passage of thought. That's the mechanism. What are the tools? This is, I'd like to suggest, the main tool of arriving at success in davening. This is the tool. It's a moshul, but I hope it helps you. On a computer screen, there are tiny little icons all the way around. All the way around. Now, on the screen, they're nothing. They're like tiny little spots. But if you press this icon, a whole file opens up. Much like a whoops, it comes down on the computer screen, and it's a whole file. If you've pressed it, so that icon opens up into a whole file. The only way one can possibly daven and reach a point of kavona is that if you've opened up a file for yourself about certain passages of whatever it is you're davening. For example, you need to use quiet time. You're allowed, as far as I know, to turn off the mobile phone. You're allowed quiet time. If you're lying in bed on the pillow, just quiet. It's not, we're talking about, you don't need to go to a graveyard. You don't have to go into the wilderness. You don't have to be a recluse. You don't have to be a guru. You don't have to be somebody who completely separates himself. You need, there are a woman in the kitchen, she has quiet time. In that quiet time, you're driving in the car, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, find a phrase and think about it. Goloi v'yodua, lifnei chisei chavedecha, she'im yiposei achechot mehen. One has to think about those words. Chalulim, chalulim. Nekovim, nekovim. So the next time you come to say that brocha, you have a file. We're not here talking about meforshim. That's already a wonderful thing, meforshim. But without meforshim, without commentators, without having gone to a shiur on it, one has to have thought, hu noisein lechem, l'chol boso. One has to have thought of those words, build up a file, and what happens? If you have thought once, for example, for yourself, what does it mean? There's a difference between, Chofetz Chaim writes, the difference between Machalka Chaim b'chesed, Machayim Mesim b'rachamim rabim. There are two different distinctions here. Looking after us and providing us with food and sustenance is Machalka Chaim b'chesed. Now, but when it comes to Machayim Mesim, that requires rachamim rabim. Why? What's the difference? The Chovas HaLevavos brings out in Shah HaBitoch and Shah HaBechina as well that the minute a person is born, there is a guarantee of support, of bread. Life means food. So the minute a creature is born, whether it's a cat, a dog, or a human, whatever it is, mechalke chayim b'chesed, the food is given. That's provided. That's chesed. Trias HaMesim needs Torah. Olam Habo is Pru Mitzvahs, Kashrus, Shabbos, Pesach, Yom Kippur, Yom Tovim. That's Olam Habo. In order to get to Trias HaMesim, one has to have a connection to Torah. It's called in the words in Daniel, Talalei Oirois. You need Torah, connection to Torah. A woman supports her husband, gives money, she helps her family in learning Torah. That's the reason why we say Noshim Nabemezakoin. How are women Zoicha? They send their family away and their children away for Torah and they bring them back. They support Torah in some way. Torah needs, Trias HaMesim needs Torah in some respect. But that's very tenuous. Not everybody finds the connection. Ribono Shel Olam is Machai Meisim Berachamim Rabim. He finds a way, somehow or other, that a person once gave money and he went to a yeshiva, or you gave a ride to someone going to a shia, somehow or other, that's Rachamim Rabim. That's a phrase. That's just one phrase. But one needs to have thought through the phrases. Not going through the whole siddur. We're not talking about hours and solitary confinement and isolation. But if you choose a phrase, I once suggested it to a group of seminary girls, and I told them, if they were going away for Shabbos, I said, when you're sitting on the coach, on the bus, going away, I told them, I said, don't talk. If it's humanly possible for so many girls not to talk. But I said to them, when you're sitting there, choose something in tefillah, and for 5 minutes, don't talk. Just think of that phrase. Think of something, whether it's Asher Yotzah, Ala Michyo, whether it's Shema, whatever. Find something which you're going to think about for yourself. And then share with each other what you both came to the conclusions. Your own thoughts. You opened up a file. And they told me afterwards, we never, ever, ever thought of these words. It's Avraham Avinu, it's being Meshaitet Padaitoi. It's thinking it through. It's developing the idea for yourself. So what happens now when you then say, Ala Michyo, or you say Asher Yotzah? It's like pressing on the icon, the file comes down. And all the thoughts which you have originally come to and your own conclusions suddenly come to feature, and it's yours. It's your expression in tefillah, how you arrived at. That is using the skill of Avraham Avinu or Yisrael or Unklus and putting it into tefillah. And then it becomes your own. And that's how one develops a unique mind for an authentic tefillah. Because you thought it through for yourself. Whatever the passage, take a line in Nishmas. There are lines which we keep on going over and again. When you walk out from this shiur, you walk home, you have a few minutes silence. Think it through. You'll see that there's an incredible file you've opened up. You thought it through. Things come to mind. And the next time, it's like pressing on the icon and it becomes your own after that. What happens as a result? What's the outcome from this? One thing is for sure. I can always promise it. There is something in the Torah which is called Habola Taher Masayinoisai. There's no question. The Ribbono Shel Olam helps people who search for him. Habola Taher Masayinoisai. What's the main example? The most famous of all examples is Yosef as he was taken down to Mitzrayim. We must first of all see the theory and then we'll apply it. He was taken down to Mitzrayim. He had no one around at all. And we're told in Parshas Vayeshev, Vayhi Hashem es Yosef, always Yud Kei Vav Kei, always. Vayhi Ish Matzliach, Vayhi Beveis Adonov, Vayar Adonov Ki Yud Kei Vav Kei Itoi. We know he kept on saying over Psukim, he kept on thinking of Hashem, he was like a walking Mishkan. V'chol asher hu oseh, Hashem Matzliach Darkoi. And every test that he went through, whether it was Eishes Potiphar, whether it was in the Beit HaSoya, always he kept on thinking of Hashem. Always. He turned around in front of the greatest Nisoyan of all, and he told the lady, there's no way I can do this with you. V'chotosi l'elokim. He had in his mind, always. From this came the most phenomenal success of Siyata Dishmaya. Became the Melech of Mitzrayim, supported Klal Yisrael, incredible. That is a passage which the Torah is showing as something called Siyata Dishmaya. Once you search for him, he's there. There's no question. Habolataya, it's a given. Messiah Noisai. So if a person has spent time, in quiet time, and 2 minutes, to find a way to improve in tefillah, by thinking for oneself, in the ways that we've just described, this is what happens. There's no question, this is what happens. If you always felt that davening was too long, you suddenly find it's not long enough. If you found that there was a certain distraction that you always had, it stops distracting you anymore. You suddenly find, this is what happens, that you have a good minyan, and I enjoy the davening. You suddenly start thinking for yourself, what am I saying here? and more points come. And since you started the ball rolling, the momentum is phenomenal. By having thought it through, you develop and grow. And all of a sudden, davening becomes the most exhilarating of conversations because it becomes your own. And that kinyan of thinking it through for yourself, the siyata dishmaya is remarkable. We're promised. Pischuli Pesach, ke Pesach shel macha. Just open a little bit of an eye of a needle. Vani eftach lachem petach shagolim ukronois yecholim. That a whole wagon can pass. Just do something. What's the something? What's the eye of the needle? The eye of the needle is just thinking once, what am I saying here? What am I keep on saying? One phrase, mechalkel chaim b'chesed. Think it for oneself. That's called an eye of a needle. And the next time the file opens up and it develops and it gathers more and more momentum, that is the siyata dishmaya in tefillah. Until eventually one begins to, you become really equipped. And it becomes, you look forward to the next tefillah. Instead of it becoming a nuisance time factor, it becomes something which you can't do without. It's everything. The avoid, you're talking to Ribbono Shel Olam. And the conversation gets more and more stimulating because it has more meaning. But you need the original thought. Let me show you some examples. Maybe we'll bring a raya for where we find all this. In Kuf Mem Beis, in Tehillim, the Sipporno says that Perek 142, which we keep on saying over and over again, was certainly a lifetime scene of David HaMelech. You remember when he was running away from David, from Shaul, and he dodged into a cave in Ein Gedi. Shaul was at the front and he was at the back, the famous Maisa. And in those circumstances of tremendous, tremendous mammoth danger, 3,000 soldiers were outside the cave with Shaul and they were hunting for him. At that moment, he composed the following tefillah. The Sipporno says that these expressions, which are described in Kuf Mem Beis, are Klal Yisrael just before the Mashiach will come. It's one of the reasons why we keep on saying this Perek. Habet Yominu Re'ei Ve'ein Li Makir. No one knows me. Of Admonis Mi Meni. That's Klal Yisrael in the world. No one cares. No one notices us. What he felt was the pulse of Klal Yisrael just before the Mashiach will come. All these thoughts are all the thoughts of Klal Yisrael. They were his private thoughts. As we know, many prokim in Tehillim are the nevuah of Ruach HaKodesh of Klal Yisrael into the future. Maskil LeDavid. David thought it through. The Gaon in Mishlei explains that the word maskil means successful reasoning with siyata dishmaya. David was called, Bahi David, L'chol d'rochav maskil, v'Hashem imoy. He was a maskil. Everything that David thought through was logical and correct reasoning, v'Hashem imoy. And he had tremendous siyata dishmaya in all his thought, what he thought through. That's the meaning of a maskil. Maskil l'David. When he was in the cave, at the back of the cave, you remember the famous Maisa, that a spider came. As soon as he went into the cave, a spider came and made a web round the front of him so he was safe. The guards never thought of looking further because they caused a spider's web. And behind the web was David, and Shaul was in front. He saw that happening, and he suddenly thought to himself, "B'hiyosa bam'oro tfila." He came to the realization, nothing in the world helps a person as much as the koyach of tfila. Says the Medrash, Migdal Ois, Shem Hashem, Boy Niskav Tzadik, a Tzadik runs as a tower of strength. He realized, look at this man, he's the king of Klal Yisrael, he has 3,000 soldiers, he has everything there, and he's now at my mercy, when all the time he thinks that I'm at his mercy. I could take him any second, he doesn't realize. The only thing which helps a person is the Koyach of Tefillah. He doesn't realize. Tefillah is everything. As he was there in the back of the cave, he composed this. But the reason why I'm bringing it is because he reasoned out for himself that there's nothing which is as strong as powerful as the koyach of tefillah. That reasoning led him to believe that you need that koyach, that reasoning, that thought in tefillah. And that takes you to all the beautiful passages that we have here. We are shown occasionally in Tehillim what exactly David HaMelech, where he reached with his thoughts. The Eben Ezra says that Peirut Kuf Lamed Tes, in the words of the Eben Ezra, is the most beautiful of all Perakim in all of Tehillim. Hashem, Chakartani Vateda, you've investigated every aspect of me, and you know me very well. Ata Yodata, you know Shifti when I sit down, Vakumi when I get up. Bantol Arei Meirochat, you've worked out all my life from a distance. Orchi Verivi, you know my paths, where I go. V'chol Derocha Hiskanta, you've worked everything out. This is David thinking. Ke'ein Mila B'Lashoni, I say anything. Hein Hashem Yodata Kula, you know everything. This is David thinking. Orchov Akedim, in front of me, behind me. Tzar Toni, you've worked it all out. Vatoshes Alay Kapecho, and you put your hand on me. Pliodas Mimeni, I can't possibly work out the wonder. Niskava, I don't know who you are. La Uchala, I can't fathom you out. Ona Elech Meiruchech, where can I go to and flee from you? Ona Miponechech, I can't run away from you. Imesak Shomayim, if I fly up to Shomayim. Shomato, you're there. Vatsia Sha'ol, if I go down into the right into the depths of the ground. Hineko, you're there as well. Esochan Feishochal, I'll take a plane and I'll fly right over. Eshkenob Achris, I go right to the west, right over onto the far coast. Gam Shom Yodcha Salcheni, you are there with me. Vesochazeni, and you are holding me. You hear him thinking. He was a thinker. He reached all his greatness, which is really what Sefer Tehillim is. It's just an heirloom of all the private thoughts which he had with Borei Olam, and he thought it all through. He rationalized it all. And through his thoughts, he reached these levels of Dveikus. But he was a maskil. We are the Eidaklach of these Ovois. We have to develop, and by no means is it reserved just for the great luminaries like Avraham Avinu and Yisroel and Unklus and David HaMelech. We have to develop our thoughts as well. And it comes, I'm suggesting, the tool is one specific tool. Using quiet time, 2 minutes here, 3 minutes there, turn off the phone, no distract. You have time. Take a phrase and think it through. Think through Al HaMichya, Le'echo Mituvya, Lispoya Mituvya. We keep on saying these words out, not too much, not more than a line or two lines or something, which we know so well, and then the file opens up. Once you've got the file there, the next time you press on that, the file opens up and it's yours, and there's the Kinyan. I'd like to present and show you a work study of this. In other words, we've shown the master plan, the blueprint, Avraham, Yisroel, and Unklus. The mechanism is a mechanism of one who has once thought about nature. One has once thought about what it means, Emunah, Adon Olam, Yomim Noraim. That's the mechanism. The tools are the tools of an icon on the computer screen, making a file. Once you've made a file, then it's yours. And then the result is the Siyata Dishmaya, which follows. You begin to think, and the momentum grows and grows, and you begin to have more insights and greater insights. And it's a promise. There's no question it works. There's no question a person develops and grows through this method. Siyata Dishmaya is there. David HaMelech, perhaps, is one of the great classic role models, a maskil. And the meaning of a maskil is someone who thinks and successfully reaches the right conclusion. But I'd like to show you a work study, how it actually works. And perhaps the most classic of all is the building of the Mishkan. As we know, the Mishkan was a place of meeting place between Borei Olam and Knesset Yisrael. It was made in the Midbar for Klal Yisrael to find a way to relate to Hashem. In those times, the Korbanos were brought. But we can perhaps say that it was an original blueprint of any shul, because it was a place of a meeting place, for Shachanti B'Soichom. You build me the Mishkan and I'll be there with you. So when you're building a place for the Ribono Shel Olam, there are certain criteria which are needed as requirements in the architecture, in the building of this meeting place. If you look from the five parshas, Terumah Tetzaveh, Kisisa, Vayakel, Pikudei, there are, in all those parshas, three requirements which were used in order to build this meeting place for the Ribono Shel Olam. He's there with you when you had three requirements. The first was that in order to collect all the raw materials, you needed something called Nedivus Lev. All the wood, all the metal, all the skins, all the tapestries, all the silver, whatever was needed for building the Mishkan, had to be given with something called Nedivus Lev, a generous heart. So much so, as we know, if anybody was forced and felt compulsory, like that I must give over something, it was not accepted. Everything which was built for this meeting place of the Shechina with Klal Yisrael had to be done with a voluntary wish. You want it to happen. Nediva slave. Kolisha she yidvenu liboy. Secondly, when it came to the actual construction, now that we have all the raw materials, in Parshas Tetzave, Betzalelat and Oliyov, had what's called, the Pasuk says, Asher milei oisoi chochmas leiv. Not chochma, chochmas leiv. And we know that Bezalel had all the skills, the eight skills of woodwork and metalwork and silver and all the things which were needed, he could do. But it wasn't his own chochma. The Balaturim explains, what's the difference between chochma and chochmas leiv? Chochma is you're a clever guy, a smart guy who knows how to do things. Chochmas leiv is you are aware of where all the skills come from. The leiv implies the Yiras Shamayim. Not just chochma, but the skills are given by the Ribono Shel Olam. He handed over these skills, and milei oisai, the Pasuk says, he was filled up with all the wisdom and the know-how of how to do everything. Not chochma, chochma slav. Finally, in Parshas Vayakhel, we come across the problem of the labor. How are they going to do this? And the Ramban explains in Parshas Vayakhel, we have one major problem. Anybody who came to do the work, besides the Salon Oliyov, had no training whatsoever. In Mitzrayim, they were all brick laborers. They had no skills. There was no fine art. There was no expertise of doing anything with silver or metal. They all had rough hands. No one knew how to do anything of working with silver or metal. They had no skill like that. So how did they do it? Says the Pasuk, V'chol ish asher nesoi liboy. An uplifted heart. Rabbi Yerucham refers to it as being unternehmen, enterprise, initiative. Vayigba liboy bedarkei Hashem leimar kol asher adoni oimer eese. Whatever the Ribono Shel Olam wants, I have no idea how to do it. But if he wants it done, I'll have a go. I'll try. I have no idea how to do it. But that's called initiative. I'll try. I don't know how to do it, but it's needed. We'll have a go. That's Nasiya slave. And therefore, we see interestingly that these three criteria for creating a mokum of the Shechina was Nedivus Lev, Chochmas Lev, and Nasiyas Lev. That's a work study of creating a Beis HaTfilah. The Lev, the motivation, the interest, the Cheshek behind it all. Perhaps that's exactly what's needed to develop an original, unique mind for an authentic tefillah. The first is, you want to come to talk to him. The rotzayin, the cheshek, to express yourself. It'll never, never work if you feel compulsory labor. I must say these words now. It never works. One needs to come to tefillah with a cheshek, with a nediva slave. That I want to talk to him, and I must talk to him, and it's a cheshek, a desire to talk to Borei Olam, firstly. Secondly, any skills that one does have, it all belongs from him. That's really a criteria of tefillah. If a person stands there in tefillah and says, it's me and him, I have my gifts and he's... One stands in front of him and says, everything is yours. You've given me everything. And therefore, it's really, as the Alter says in the beginning of his Shmuz, and the Alter von Kelm explains, the real bottom line of tefillah is always the yachas, the connection. He is the Boire, and I am the Nivra. He is the Yoitzer, and I am the Noitzer. He is the Noifech Chaim, and I am the one who breathes. He is the one who is Mechalkel Chaim Bechesed, so I say, Hu Noisein Lechem L'chol Basar. That Yachas, it's all just that. That's all it is. I'm expressing that Yachas, but I'm making it perfectly clear. The Alter is beginning his first Shmuzim in Chochma U'Musa. That's all it is. It's just expressing, saying out the connection, saying it out. But one has to admit that it's not me. Lesle migame klum. I don't have anything. It's coming from him. And he's giving me, and I'm just acknowledging it. That's the Chochma slave. And finally, you have to give it a try. No one knows really how to talk to him. You can have lessons in tefillah, but you need initiative. You need enterprise. You have to have a go. No one is really skilled. You've never spoken to him before. Maybe you have and tried, but maybe not succeeded. But you need to have that initiative. I'll try. I'll make that effort to communicate with him. And I'm going to do my best, even though I don't really have training. You have training in tefillah, but how to talk to him and how to make myself understood. What we mentioned it before, you have to use the words. They'll never get words as good as they are in the Siddur. That's the text. But one has to come with great enterprise. I'm going to make it work. I'm going to give my all to it, even though I might not have the skill, but I'm going to try. The Gaon says in the Siddur, that's always the expression when we say the Loshon of Shema Koileinu. Koil is a squeak. A koil is a noise. Not Shema Deboreinu, Shema Amoreinu, Shema Koileinu. Says the Gaon, koil is just, whatever I say, hear it. That's the meaning of, I'm trying. Whatever I say to him, I'm going to try. And the koil, whoever comes out, that's Nesiyah slave. And therefore, perhaps we can suggest that in order to make a great success of the tefillah, one needs to have Nediva slave, which is really what was used for making a Beis HaTefillah, Chochma slave, recognition it comes from him, and great enterprise to have a go and make it work, Nesiyah slave. And therefore, in summation of all that we said, in conclusion, the real, and this is really what this Shia is all about, one has to be a devoted traditionalist. One has to keep to the text. One's own thoughts are, best of all, weaved into the words. Of course, one can speak out at the end, Shemayne Esrei, before you say Oysa Sholem, by the Posek Yihyu L'Rotzen, before that. Of course, it's a place to say whatever you want, and it's wonderful to put one's own thoughts. But you'll never do as well, and that's what Rav Shach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, used to say. You'll never, it's like a rubber band flicking it up. It's not as strong. The power is in their words. It's jumping onto their words, and a free thinker using those words. That's a rocket from Cape Kennedy. That really gets there. That's the momentum of the words of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. You might turn around and say, I've never been trained to think. No one ever showed me how to think for myself. I'd like to share with you a maisa that happened. When I was living, we lived for many years in Mattersdorf, next door to Teure Ohr, the first 10 years that we were here. And one day a bocher, knocked on the door, and he said to me, I hear that you're from England. So I said, yes. Said, well, I come from another part near where you live. I said, no, can't be. There are no Jewish people there. I said, yeah, I come from that part of town. This happened a few years ago. So I said to him, really? I didn't know there were Jewish people like that. He came in and he told me the following. He said, until I was 17 years old, I had no idea I was Jewish. I went to a funeral. And I saw at the funeral they were doing strange things. They were putting stones on the grave and saying which they didn't understand. I turned round to my aunt and I said, what are they doing here? And my aunt said, well, this is what they said. They do it at a Jewish... I said, who said anything about being Jewish? The cat was out of the bag. He went home and said to his parents, I didn't know I was Jewish. He said, who told you? It got out. They said, forget about it. Have no connection. Just leave the idea. He couldn't. He went to the Central Lending Library and took out the Encyclopedia Britannica and looked at the word Jew. And he read, a Jew believes in God. He doesn't know God. He didn't know anything at all. A Jew rests on Saturday, so he stayed in bed the whole day. No. Everything he read, he kept. His Shulchan Aruch was the Encyclopedia Britannica. This happened a few years ago. He read about circumcision, so he called up a society, and they said the main society. He took a train down to London, and he found the Circumcision Society. He got himself a bris, came home and told his parents he doesn't feel well, and stayed in bed for a few days. He then found in the encyclopedia that Jews pray in a synagogue. So he said, I'll look up a synagogue. Maybe there's a synagogue in our town. He said that the first Saturday he went to the synagogue, because it said on Saturday is the main day of prayer. Encyclopedia Britannica, Shtetase. Saturday. So he went along and he said, it can't possibly be. Can't possibly, this is not the way it's supposed to be. It turned out later, after he found out, it was the Reformed Temple. That was out. So I said, I'll try another one the second week. Second week, he went to another one. He said, it's a little bit better. It's not the way it's supposed to be. He told me the whole thing. Turned out that one was a conservative temple. So the third week, he chose another one. He said, this is closer the way it's supposed to be, but I'm sure you're not supposed to talk so much in prayers. That was the Frum Shul. He said, they talk too much in doubt. They talk too much when they're praying. And he went on and on and on like that. And everything he read, and he never ever thought there were other Jews around. Because it looked to him like he didn't know anything at all. Jews in synagogue, whatever, he didn't know anything. And then he decided that he'll go and speak to his grandfather, who happened to be a master carpenter in, I think, Windsor Castle, in one of the Queen's palaces. A real craftsman, a carpenter, who lived near Heathrow Airport. He went and asked his grandfather, we're Jewish. So he said, who told you? And he was furious with him. He said, forget about it. If you carry it on, you'll end up like Mad Uncle Charlie. Who is Mad Uncle Charlie? Forget it. He went back home, and his parents were out. This is what he did. He searched the records, and he found Charles. And then he discovered that, in reality, his mother was Jewish. He didn't know any connection. His father wasn't. His father was an Irish labourer, a Catholic. And he made the connection of Charlie to this person, looked up this person. It so happened this Mad Uncle Charlie was one of the biggest givers to yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. He went and found Mad Uncle Charlie. Mad Uncle Charlie sent him to Or Sameach. He came to the Torah, and he's now an Avraham. And the whole thing just carries on and on and on. Incredible story, like an Avraham Avinu. He was Meshetet Badaito. He searched. He searched to the best of his possible. It's interesting here. Tonight is the Yortzeit of Rav Shach. Tell you a beautiful Maisa. He had a brother at home who was younger than him. And he came into me. We got very close. He came to me. Coming into me all the time. And he said to me, one day, one Shabbos, he came into me and he said to me, I've decided, Yonason, I'm going to kidnap my younger brother and bring him to Israel. Because he's living like a Catholic. He doesn't even know he's Jewish. So I said to him, wait one minute, you can't just kidnap somebody straight off. I suggest you go and ask Rav Shach. He went down to Rav Shach. Lamaisa, it's a wonderful thing. He'll bring him in and be a Yid. He said, I'll bring him to Yeshiva and look after him. Rav Shach. He went and asked Rav Shach. And Rav Shach said, on no account. The boy, I think, was 12. No way. Leave him exactly where he is. He said, but Rebbe, he's living like a goy. Rav Shach said, if you take that child away from his natural mother at that age, the harm you will do will never be outweighed by the benefit of bringing him into Klal Yisrael. You won't get anywhere. He'll be wrenched from his mother, pull him away and can wait. What you should do is keep on writing letters to him. Tell him that you love him, but don't mention anything about Yiddishkeit. Nothing about Torah. Just make the connection. And what will happen is that he'll be so interested in you, he'll make a trip one holiday to visit you. And then he'll see you, and then you can be a makarevim later. Don't do any, no kidnapping. B'chein hoya, exactly what happened. He kept on writing to him and writing to him, and he answered back. He never saw him for years. I think he aged 17, 18, he came for a holiday in Eretz Yisrael. He married a girl, he's married with children, I think he's an Avrei, I'm unbelievable, Shachs, Chochma, it's not worth it, you won't get anywhere. And there were parts of this story which are credible. The reason why I brought it is that it's possible to be an Avraham Avinu in our times, to be Meshaitet B'daitai. This boy did it without any backing. Kol Shekein, you and I, we can think for ourselves, we can grow. And it's the most valuable of all tools in tefillah, to think it out, to open a file, to develop one's own files on certain psukim. That was David HaMelech. That's maybe the role model of building a mishkan. Nediva slave, Chochma slave, Nasiya slave. And of course, the most important ability of all is one gets tremendously out of Tishmaya. Havolatahe, you only want to improve your davening. For that, Messiah Noisai, V'chein Yehi Watzai. I just want to make an announcement. Next, my daughter is getting married on Monday. And therefore, next Shabbos, we were going to be busy with Sheva Brachos. I wanted to give a shiur, but it's not possible. My wife said, no way. It can't be done. So there will be no shiur next week. In 2 weeks' time, I will, imitz Hashem, do the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. That will be more lemaisa. This week was more in theory, but in 2 weeks' time, we'll do imitz Hashem Kriya Shema. That's loch. A good vach. If any of you are in Binyanei HaUmah on Monday night, I would love to invite you to my chasana. Monday evening in Binyanei HaUmah. Simchus by you.
Thank you, Rosh Hashanah.
Kol tov.
You have to be careful who you invite to meet you up on it.
Yeah, it'd be the greatest of pleasure. It's a big hall.
Jewish, or he went off
Yitro. No, he stayed. He went back home to his work. He went back home. Moshe went home to stay.